I love what Audra wrote in her dad's obituary. From his years of elementary, junior high, high school teaching, she says this: He was much beloved, and you couldn't go anywhere with him in the Pontotoc area without someone yelling some variation of "Mr. Odom," coming up to tell him what had gone on in their lives since they had last seen him. And that just says so much of Reg that his former students wanted to stay up with him, greet him, say hey to him, and update them on his lives, knowing that he would want to know that about them. And we know that children in our church had the same idea and sense about Reg, too, that at first glance, you would think this big, burly, bearded guy would intimidate children, but then you'd see this big smile, this booming laugh, and this beam in his eyes, and it endeared him to our children and to everyone else. And Bill Smallwood told about how Sam and Carter, who'd gotten to know him at Cary, would run up to him after the service and call him baby boy. It appears that his original birth certificate, some glitch the parents hadn't yet named him and sent him to the state, was baby boy. Mark Watson, how he took special interest in Will, enjoyed Will's exuberance in worship. Marcus, during the Reformation party, that they have family pics of all their families, their children, lined up in a row that they can look back on all the Reformation parties. Freddie and Linda say that they think he enjoyed the Reformation party at least as much as the kids did. We know that Reg loved people, loved children, happy, friendly man, smart and servant-hearted. As Steve was saying, he has book learning, practical know-how, and interpersonal gifting. It's some kind of combination. Brad Brazier, that he says that some people know a lot about a little, some people know a little about a lot, but Reg knew a lot about a lot. Greg said he was our go-to guy with the tools. So Reg wanted to encourage you and help you, and Reg could tell you a good story. And Harold said, you know, he shows up at his house in a truck to pick up a washer and dryer to take it to Hoss. Love that story. Well, he loved his family. Reg loved Joyce. And there's a beautiful picture Alder took of Joyce at the hospital room, just Joyce and Reg looking each other in the eye. I think Alder said, this is what love looks like. Loved Alder, loved Rebecca, loved Amber, loved his family. Wally, your family. He loved his church family and his wider family. So the question is, what makes Reg be like he was? And Steve's talked about that. And what we want to talk about is that the core of that is what God had done in his life. And so I asked Aldra, did Reg have a favorite passage in the Bible? And as Steve mentioned, she immediately launches in and says Romans 8. So that makes a ton of sense with Reg. In one sense, it invites study and reflection, which Reg really enjoyed. But even more, it just says it all. You know, it's the chapter that starts with no condemnation and ends with no separation. For the child of God, for the one in Christ. It's a chapter about the safety and security of the child of God, perfect for a service of worship and a celebration of life like we have today. So I want to read or speak to you about a portion of that. You know, we know some things. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I and convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what you need to say at a moment like this. So I have three, well, I want to say more. I have three quick points. Ridge was and is embraced in an unbreakable chain of salvation. And I hope that's the case for each of us today. Verse 28, for those who love God, all things work together for good. It's the promise for the believer. One preacher said, this verse has been likened to a pillow on which to rest your weary head. God uses all things, even death, for our ultimate good. And that does not mean death itself is good. Death is not natural. That's why it's so jarring to us. It's not God's original design. It's a consequence of sin. Jesus hated death. It's our great enemy. But you see, the gospel is that God didn't let the enemy get the last word on you or on those we love, those in Christ. The gospel is that God went so far as to send his beloved son to become one of us, to place onto his own shoulders and make it his own the curse of death, such that he would pay the sentence of death in full on our behalf. And paying the sentence of death in full, death now loses its sting, and he overcomes death and defeats it at the cross, such that he breaks the bonds of hell, death, and sins, and rises victorious from among the grave to be seated at God's right hand, a trouncing victory. And so how does it work for our ultimate good? Well, he converts the great enemy into this gateway where our Savior walks with us through the gateway into our greatest good. And what is our greatest good but the immediate presence of God and the full enjoyment of eternal life? And that's what you're created for. And so who are these who love God? We'd like to be in that category. Well, it's the same people who are called according to his purpose. Those who have heard the gospel call, whom God has called to himself, given them a heart to believe, and so have responded in faith and received a gift that's offered to each of you today, that Reg took hold of. And those who respond in faith, they become part or embraced in this unbreakable chain of salvation that can't be severed. Such that in verses 29 and 30, Paul goes on to say that those he foreknew, meaning he loved you in eternity, are those he predestined, meaning he chose you to eternal life. And if that's the case, then in your experience, he called you, meaning he gave you a heart to believe the gospel and receive the gift. And when you do that, he justified you, meaning he declared you righteous, not on your own feeble little record, but on Jesus' righteousness in your place. And when he did that, he glorified you, meaning he transformed you body and soul to live in the new heavens and the new earth, which is really interesting because all of you here today are not yet there. But he writes it in past tense because it's so certain that it's as if you were already there. In fact, in God's mind, you're already in glory if you're in Christ. You're just on loan to this earth to do some tasks before he takes you back. And Reg finished his tasks, and he went home. See, what God starts, he finishes. He doesn't do anything halfway. We don't drop out on the way. The chain is unbreakable. Reg had this comfort and confidence. Now he has this full experience. This is the gospel Reg believed. Makes you think of something Max said. You know, I've had a great time compiling stories and hearing others. Max wrote, my first recollection of Reg came about through the Daily Journal, reading an article about Reg as he was teaching in Pontotoc School's Bible. He said, even back then there was a controversy. Reg proclaimed he would not change the content of his classes just because a few did not agree. Many nurses that worked with Max knew him and appreciated his stance. And when I finally met him, there was no wavering in his position and purpose, teach and live out the gospel. There you have it. Second, Reg was engaged in an incomparable goal for his life, verse 29, already suggested by what Max says. And what was that incomparable goal? Start of a new year, great to think about. To be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. God saves us like he does in order to grow us to look a bit more like his beloved son. And that's a worthy goal to devote your life to, just to look a little more like Jesus. Of course, as Steve says, we're not saved by looking like Jesus. God saves us from first to last. That's what we've just reviewed. However, embraced in the unbreakable chain of salvation, we now get the freedom and power by the Spirit to become just a little bit more like God's beloved Son. And Reg reflected that for us. Not perfectly, but he reflected that for us. The very one who said, "Let the little children come to me," the very one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, we saw something of that heart in Reg. His faith in Christ resulted in becoming a little like Christ. And that has a lasting influence, and we felt it. We're in a men's group shortly after Reg passed. And in that men's group, John Chumley is part of that. John Chumley now in mid-30s with 4 kids. He was on that carry trip with some of the others. He immediately says, "Reg taught me how to swing a hammer." I asked him to write it all out for me, and this is what he said. "We were building a porch for a woman's trailer in Cary. The men were kind enough to let the boys help nail in the floorboards after the structure was set. Reg started a couple of nails and handed me his hammer. I grabbed the hammer with 2 hands and choked up near the head and started hitting it. After I connected 3 or 4 times and the nail hadn't moved a millimeter, Reg, with his jeans already soaked from sweat, said, 'You don't have a clue what you're doing, do you?'" You can hear it. "Here, let me show you. Hold it here and raise it this high. Just swing. Don't worry about missing." And he taught me how to drive a nail. Just swing. Then he patiently watched as I practiced 5 or 6 nails. We had to stop over and over again as he straightened out the nails. And each time he says, "Good job, John Robert." Then John goes on to say, "I taught my son the same way in our garage on his 4th birthday. When I got him a dinosaur fossil egg to crack open. When I saw James hold my hammer the same way I held Mr. Odom's all those years ago. Put your hand here, James. Raise the hammer this high. There you go." And James swung until his orange stegosaurus cracked open. He threw my good hammer to the side to collect his prize. John says, "I thank God that Mr. Reg Odom prepared me for that wonderful moment with my son, James." As Steve says, the ripple effects of a life lived seeking to become like Christ. Third, Reg was enlivened by the inseparable bonds of Jesus' love. And this is the triumph song. This is the crescendo of the whole chapter, which we need to have resonating in our hearts. And I think Reg did. Verse 21, "What shall we say in response to all this?" So all that gospel truth, how should that affect you today? God's love for us in Jesus enables us to rejoice in God, respond to our fears, and reflect his love to others. So just look at the other questions real quick. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's not that there aren't things that are against us, but who can really be strong enough to stand against us? It responds to that question we have, is God strong enough? And Paul's saying he's more than strong enough. The second question, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" And this question responds, okay, he's strong enough, but is he willing? Will he do it? And Paul's logic is, well, if God gave you the biggest gift, his own beloved son, to suffer your curse in your place, will he not give you all the lesser gifts in your life? Will he not be favorably disposed to give you what you need, including, will he not walk you through the gates into glory once he purchased it for you. Then the fourth question, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? And this satisfies that fear we have that when it's all said and done, there's going to be some accusation out there that's going to level us to where we remain guilty. And he says, wait a second, that can't be the case because God's already justified you. Jesus already bore your consequence in his death, and he rose victorious in your place. And he's daily interceding for you. So though the evil one and your sin can launch an accusation against you, it can't stick because Jesus has taken care of it. You're free and righteous before God's throne of judgment. Sense that freedom. And then finally, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And that's the question of questions. That responds to that lurking insecurity. Does God really love me? And what Paul just wants you to have in your mind and heart is that God's love for you is unfathomable, and it's committed, and it's invincible. It overcomes all things. You can count on it. It converts even things that want to hurt you into things that help you. And it's a love that indicates that God wants you in relationship with himself. Like he wants you with him. And it's all for that. And it's a love that Reg is experiencing to the highest degree right now in the plain, immediate presence of Jesus, the goal of all Jesus' work. And it's a love that we got to sense a little bit more through Reg's life among us. And so do you know this love today? It's God's desire for you. And we saw something of it in Reg. Amen.